Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Brian Summers on the text line says, I've heard DMR is the next coming of Tony Gonzalez, so we can't let him hit waivers. Says, don't forget the new rule. Your practice squad quarterback can be called up as emergency quarterback an unlimited number of times without having to be moved to the active roster.
Yep, it's just a question of if you expose him, will someone grab him?
I don't know.
Will someone grab him?
Will Malik Willis be QB2 in a different uniform?
Maybe. We were just looking at the Patriots with their embarrassment of riches. I assume they're keeping – are they keeping Big Joe? Big Joe kind of struggled a little bit.
Big Joe had a good first preseason game.
I need Colin Cowherd to come on the radio and, you know, just, like, do a dunk tank of himself.
Joe Milton should start.
I mean, Colin Cowherd, don't you watch the NFL and football? God. He wasn't alone, though.
I mean, look, I love to see it.
I love Joe Milton, but come on, but you idiots.
Come on. What are we doing here?
But, yeah, Brian Summers doesn't seem to be – are you being sarcastic, Brian Summers, about DMR? Or is that what you're – are you in some little
the next
fight?
Next coming of Tony Gonzalez.
In a little fight with Mike Herndon or somebody else about DMR that I've missed? Let me know.
Justin on the text line says, it's been refreshing this preseason to get to see many of our starters get some quality work. For many years under Vrabel, we had a lot of slow starts week one. Team always looked rusty. I feel so much better about week one against the Bears this year.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Take it easy.
I mean, he also says is there some pressure now to for the offense to be ready to go week one? What if they come out there and score 6 points? What do we do with our preseason takes then?
Yeah. Well, then I guess is the take then that they need to start going to full games, full preseason games with the starters. That'll do it. Hey, man, maybe it'll work. Hey, look, maybe it's good. I don't think it's bad that the starting offensive line.
I mean, Callahan clearly thought it was somewhat important.
Yeah. Well, again, I've never dismissed the offensive line alone as important to get any reps you can get five people together.
Yeah.
And we're talking a situation here where you had one of them who missed all spring and early parts of camp. You've had a different guy in now at right guard. The other guy left. And you got a rookie, and you got a new center. Like, I'm all in on get this offensive line work together. They look good, so that's good. Everything else, whatever. We'll see. He also asked us to rank in order your top three rookies of the preseason.
Rank in order our top three rookies?
Are we talking preseason games? Or are we talking the entire preseason? I mean, the entire preseason, I'm going to go first-round pick, J.C. Latham, 1. Second-round pick, Tavondre Sweat, 2. And then I'll go Brownlee. I really like Brownlee.
Brownlee's good.
Brownlee got yesterday.
He did.
He got beat, but he's – and he got a penalty. But I tell you what, you can do way worse than that guy as your fourth corner. And I think he's got a bright future if he can stay healthy.
I like what I've seen from Jaquan Jackson, too. I think Jackson is – first off, punt return, he almost broke one again yesterday. So I think he's got a chance to be pretty electric returning the ball. We'll see how that goes for the Titans in the punt return game. But he was one kind of like ankle tackle away from breaking one loose yesterday. So return game could be interesting for the Titans this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's on, I believe, clearly on the 53.
I think he's on the 53.
That's where, you know, it gets interesting after him, too.
Yeah.
And that gets into all this discussion with Malik Willis and, like, where – whereas, again, it's with all of them, though, just like with Malik Willis, the question is, okay, are you really in danger of losing this guy
right.
if you expose this guy? DMR might be one, you know. But, like, even an inside linebacker, now we'll see with Chance Campbell. That's a big question. But there are a lot of guys. I mean, James Williams is.
He smoked.
I mean.
Spencer Rattler yesterday.
Yes.
Smoked him.
Now, like, there's – and with him, a couple years, like developmental player.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see something there. So there's a guy who it's like, okay, someone else going to sign that guy. And I don't think he's going to get cut anyway, but I'm just saying, for example, would another team sign him to their active roster right now? You know, I don't know. But if you're the Titans, he's one of those guys that you kind of are thinking you're gonna stock this guy. And he'll help on special teams, but like at some point, he could be a player.
Limited sample size from Tavondre Sweat yesterday, but from what we saw, he looked like a monster out there. It was blowing up plays right from the jump. Did have one play, one rep where he's right after the quarterback on the pass rush. I mean, it was, I think, a pretty good showing from Sweat. So for, as Corey said earlier, those who were looking for some of those practice plays to translate to the game that we've talked about with Sweat, you saw some of that yesterday against the Saints.
Yes. That's what I thought we'd see right away in that first series against San Francisco, and it really didn't. And it was, I was kind of surprised, a little disappointed, just because, like, again, it's just been a daily thing. That's what we've been seeing. He can just get push and blow up run plays, and then you see the little sidestep in the pass rush move. Like I tweeted, and Jared got all mad. Like I tweeted, I said, yes, Tavondre Sweat can rush the passer. Watch college football. If you watch him at Texas last year, he was doing that stuff all over the place. And that's why he went in the second round at 38, even though we know about the red flags and everything. But that's the kind of player he is. He's that kind of player. I mean, he's going to be a problem, I believe. And I really, of all the things that, like, I'm definitely looking forward to see the corners and all that stuff. But, like, Sweat and Simmons, extended action against another team on a Sunday. Pretty excited to watch that.
Have you seen enough from Jalen Harrell throughout the preseason where you believe, like, it's one thing to make the roster. It's another thing to be an active contributor that helps the football team on game days when the regular season rolls around. Have you seen enough from Harrell where you feel like the Titans may actually have something there where he can be a player for them on Sundays that plays meaningful snaps on the defensive side of the ball?
I think he's a solid football player. Like right now, I think that I would put him ahead of Rashad Weaver. So, to me, he's a third guy.
Which is not a great development for Rashad Weaver, by the way.
No. And, you know another guy who I did like some of what I saw? I did like some of what I saw from Caleb Murphy. He had a few reps. He missed a sack that you have to have.
Yeah.
Early on that play that ended up getting – that was a good challenge by Brian Callahan, other than please don't ever challenge anything in the preseason. But other than that, it was a good challenge. But that was a good rep from Caleb Murphy. I kind of like it. But, yeah, no, I think Jalen Harrell is just solid. And, look, it's, again, say what you will about the Harbster. The notice of allegations has been sent. We'll hear more about how he believes in integrity and honesty and whatever.
I do not apologize.
That dude developed a heck of a tough football team with a whole bunch of good, defensive players. And Harrell kind of got lost in the mix, but he's a good football player.
Yeah.
That's a good seven. This draft, someone texts here and says all the rookie draft picks have exceeded expectations except Gray, who, of course, has been hurt. I don't know about exceeded expectations. Like, I don't know. Like, has Latham exceeded expectations as the seventh pick? He looks like the seventh pick.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it looks like a pretty good class right now. It's early. We haven't played real football yet. All that
long way
stuff.
To go.
Yada, all the stuff you say. But, like, Jalen Harrell in the seventh round, I'm watching him play, and I'm like, man, that dude's not like a fourth, fifth rounder?
Brownlee.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It looks like a good draft.
It does. Still a long way to go, but it looks like a pretty good draft at this point. We'll see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We already have an upset in the world of college football. We'll get into all that coming up as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. I just want to read this text exchange on the text line. Malik Willis is a running back. Rex Road's response, he is not in any way a running back. He is a quarterback who can run. Got a texter that says, this is debatable and worth a discussion. Is it debatable?
He would not play running back in the NFL at all.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. He's a good runner. Look, man, Malik Willis' arm talent, his arm, pretty freaking good. And, you know, I think you're seeing progress. It's like, okay, so where does it go from here? How much better can he get from here? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I think he has taken steps to do what I've said many times. I mean, the realistic goal, whether he says it. If you're Malik Willis, your goal is you're going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, that's fine. But, like, if you're his agent, even if you don't say it to him, you're like, let's get ourselves to where we're solidly one of the top 64 quarterbacks in the world, and we have a job for a long time as a backup quarterback.
Now, we're also getting
that's hard to do.
It's hard to do. And, look, like you said, I think he's made good progress there. Now, we are now reaching the point of the year where unless things go really, really poorly for the Titans, he's not going to play again, right? And that's kind of the whole point in all this. And, you know, Kaharski's brought this up, and it is a good point. You know, this whole third quarterback rule got put in because of what happened to San Francisco a few years ago in the playoff game. And that was an extreme situation. It didn't happen a ton before that, and I don't think it has happened since then. So, like, how much is Brian Callahan or any, like all these head coaches, how much are they factoring in the third quarterback rule now when they're making roster decisions? I don't know the answer. I'm sure it's different for everybody. But how much are you actively factoring that in if you're Brian Callahan, to where that's a part of your conversation right now?
Yeah, I mean, some of the answer to that is your own top two. What's the level of concern about injury?
Right.
Right? Even if, like, the Titans the last couple of years – have been offering up their quarterbacks for free hits for people, right?
Yes.
So, like, I think you have to take all those things into account. Real quick to this texter, he says instinctively he runs first. I'm talking about Willis. That has been a thing. He's definitely been a one read
and go,
not there, pull it and go, and the eyes come down, right? But that's where I think you see improvement. Again, the touchdown pass yesterday, the second one, was he – sidestepped and kept the eyes downfield and ripped it. That is big time quarterback play, and that's not what he was doing before. That to me represents improvement. So, by the way, you got Hendon Hooker. That's been sort of the thing with him. He's kind of coming on with the Lions. He ran for like 93 yards, but also he had some really good plays of hanging in there, climbing the pocket, making throws. Watch out, man.
Jared Goff shaking his boots. Yeah,
I don't know about that, but I think Hendon's going to be QB2, and I still think at some point we're going to be talking about Hendon Hooker starting for somebody in this league. I do think so.
Hey, interested to see how it goes. I mean, this is also like the other interesting part of the like it used to be, you know, you had the gradual cutdowns. You had your first cuts, and you had your final cuts, and you got into to roster cutdown and waiver pickups that way. I think the Titans are, what are they, seventh on the waiver list right now? So – it is going to be interesting to see how this all goes, and do the Titans, like, how much looking around to other teams are the Titans doing? Be that, you know, that corner, be it at a returner spot. Like, does somebody break loose out there that the Titans are interested in picking up? Always going to be interesting when all of it's happening kind of at once over the next 2 days here around the league.
Well, exactly. We always focus on if you leave this guy or you leave that guy. Well, aren't other teams in that situation?
Yeah.
So do the Titans not have – does this front office not have some guys picked out that they're ready to pounce on if they're left exposed? Rand Carthon talked about that yesterday, wearing his green sweatshirt that apparently ticked off people. Did Jared tweet about that?
I don't know.
What does Jared think about him doing the interview?
Good question.
Is that okay? Are you happy now, Jared? But, no, I mean, that's the thing.
Is it Chad? I really need to do this one. I need to do this interview. Jared's tweeting about it, so I got to go do it.
Yeah. Put on this green sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Go Eagles.
You ready for a take on the text line?
A.J. Brown.
Glenn from Greenbrier on the text line. I would take Malik Willis over Anthony Richardson. Any day his arm is just as good, and he's more accurate, a more complete quarterback. What do you think of that? Glenn from Greenbrier going Malik over Anthony Richardson.
I'm going to go ahead and sort of disagree on that. Hey, it's a Monday morning.
Still have to watch that movie.
The takes are fun. Yeah, man, you really do. Dustin for Hopkinsville says, if his arm talent is so good, why does he run 89% of his plays? Well, again, Dustin, it's the arm talent. He doesn't use it enough, right? That's the whole point. And then there's a lot more that he wrote. But I ain't reading all that. Happy for you, or sorry that happened to you. But yeah, he has.
I'm
going to
go out
talent.
And say that Malik Willis is not better than Anthony Richardson.
No,
I don't know how good Anthony Richardson's going to be.
No,
but the physical tools are not close.
No, they're not close. Again, Anthony Richardson is the greatest athlete who has ever in the history of the combine at the position of quarterback. Malik Willis is a very good athlete, good runner, big time arm, but there's a pretty significant difference there in upside, I believe. Someone asked about Burks being the seventh receiver, which I don't know, but he's not the seventh receiver. The Burks thing is interesting, though. Austin Stanley from A to Z Sports made a good observation yesterday that basically, like, his – like, the limits of – or the fact that he was out there like that maybe tells you that they kind of expect Hopkins to be ready. You could read into it that way if you so choose. But – Traylon Burks is –
well, isn't that kind of what he said last week, though? Like, they do expect Hopkins to be ready.
Yeah. But, you know, people say stuff. We're still trying to figure out with Callahan, like, you know, the level of coach speak on certain things.
Right.
You know, until you see them play out. I mean, I think he's been pretty forthright and honest about stuff. But yeah, he kind of backs up that, right, the idea that he could be there. But, no, Traylon Burks is – He's a fourth receiver on this team. Or at least he's like co-four with NWI.
4A, 4B.
Yeah. Right? So he's going to be involved in some way, especially because someone is absolutely guaranteed to get hurt.
Joe, we already have an upset in college football. Florida State goes down in Ireland over the weekend, taking on Georgia Tech. What'd you make of that one? The old Seminoles upset in week one, as people have pointed out. They have been heavily outscored by the state of Georgia in their last two games. Would Georgia beat them in the bowl game, like 63-3 or something like that?
Something just disgusting. Yeah. Well, Florida State. First of all, I like Georgia Tech. I really like what they're doing. I love their offense, and Haynes King I love the college QB like that.
Former Aggie.
Exactly, but that's where. I just like their offense is what part of like why I love college football, because like you're not going to see that in the NFL, and you're not going to see a guy like that be great in the NFL, but in college football, what they do with him and everything, they're going to be a team to watch. Florida State also lost all those dudes of the pros, and you know DJ Uiagalelei. This is where I've gotten into a beef the last couple of days with both Jared and Caroline. Because Caroline had a tweet about, like, oh, why do people keep thinking he's – I'm like – and then right then he completed, like, two straight fourth downs and they scored a touchdown to tie it. Like, we all know that he's not who he was supposed to be, right?
He's the number one recruit in the country.
He'd been the NFL 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's still – like, I think he's a good pickup for Florida State. He's a good quarterback. He actually helped Oregon State well overachieve last year, right? As a college quarterback, he's a good player. So did people think that, oh, now this year he's going to be the superstar high draft pick? He's going to be like a fifth-round pick next year, right? Or something like that, right?
Maybe lower, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, we could do a bet on that one too if you want.
Well, maybe so.
But, you know, they're going to be fine, and that is another thing too. Like this brings home, which probably for you will say, see, this is why I don't like it. Because we don't have to shovel dirt on Florida State right now, right? Like, it's a tough loss, but they're still in position where if they can get to the ACC title game, they have a good chance to get to the college football playoff. Whereas in the old way, this would be devastating to them. I personally like that they're not toast after one game, and it's going to
be toast after one game over the old system. We're still
well, yeah. I guess you're right. You'd be getting the shovel ready.
Yeah.
You wouldn't shovel the dirt, but you'd at least have it in your hand. And now it's just like, well, let's see.
I mean, all this has done is in one game proved that now the regular season in college football is way less meaningful than it ever used to be.
But it's still meaningful. I enjoyed the heck out of the game. And I'm interested to see if Florida State can rebound. But they were a little bit overrated, right?
There's no doubt.
All these dudes who went to the pros, you know, they're not in a position. Mike Norvell has not put them in a position where they're just reloading like these top programs. And I think some people have confused that.
It was really good game. I enjoyed it. I'm kind of over the playing in Ireland to start things off.
Yeah. Just
play football. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, it seemed cool. I liked some of the game day
stuff.
Maybe
it was just how
Ireland.
Much videos I saw of McAfee dancing with Nick Saban's wife and chugging Guinness. I don't know.
He said he had 30 Guinnesses. But yeah, ESPN like cut off the broadcast. He was so drunk on the air.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the people who've been laid off so they could pay McAfee $10 gazillion to get hammered on the air are feeling good right now.
He was good on game day, though. I enjoyed game day.
He handled his hangover quite well.
He did. Saban going to be pretty good.
Saban's good. But, I think Coach Prime's great. He's going to be. Yeah, all right. See, this is where we get into issues.
Oh, boy.
But overall, I agree. He was good.
Big trade went down over the weekend. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that next. Take your thoughts as well. I got some more things to say about that 745, too. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, the game.
Barry, is there a fear for you when making a trade like this that Yaroslav Askarov could become a superstar, and how the reaction would be if that's what ends up happening?
No, you can't. You have to trust that the player that he is. You know he's going to be a good player in this league, and we feel that Edstrom's going to be a good player. I mean, everybody probably Askarov's got some cachet at this point in his career. Edstrom's a year. Younger, maybe 2 years younger. What happens if Edstrom becomes the star and Askarov doesn't? So it works both ways. I don't think you can ever make a trade in fear. If you're gonna do that in fear, I would say that you're in the wrong business. So it just is, because there's no guarantee that, and I've been in this business a long time, there's no guarantee that a 22-year-old or 21-year-old or 19-year-old you can automatically say that this guy's going to be a absolute superstar. Those are very, very rare. You know, the Crosbys and the McDavids and those guys are almost sure things. They're the gold standard. And then there's a next level, and I can give you a lot of success stories, and I can give you a lot of failures. So
that's Barry Trotz on with Jared on Friday. In the immediate aftermath of the Yaroslav Askarov trade, he's now a San Jose Shark. Gets traded to San Jose, signs a $4 million contract extension, 2 years, $4 million contract. So it looks like he's going to play this year for the Sharks. Preds get back forward David Edstrom, who was selected in the first round by Vegas. Goalie Magnus Crona, who played against the Predators this year, gave up an 8 spot for the Sharks. So we'll see how that goes. And a first-round pick. It's a conditional first-rounder, so basically, without getting too deep into the weeds of it, it's either going to be the Sharks' first-rounder that they have or the Vegas first-rounder that the Sharks got for them. If it's a top-10 pick, San Jose gets the choice. So we'll see
what
happens
there. What if they're both cheeks? Well, then what if Vegas takes a huge step back?
It's good news for the Preds.
It is good news for the Preds. Well, you want Vegas to be just awful this year.
You do. I mean, the Predators, regardless, have 3 first-round picks next year now, which that is probably my biggest takeaway from this is you now have plenty of ammunition to load up at the deadline if you want to.
Absolutely.
And you've got first-round picks that you could hand out at the deadline and try to add to your team right now. We talked about Askarov last week. The trade request was made. So I figured it was probably just a matter of time before he ended up traded elsewhere. What do you make of what the Predators got back for him? What do you make of the deal that Barry Trotz put together on Friday with the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, what the prospects, what that'll be, but I think it's pretty good to get a first-round pick at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, it's an interesting thing because we talked about him losing leverage as soon as Askarov, not Askarov, but now I guess Trotz can just continue to forever mispronounce his name, and who cares, right? Disrespect now. But we talked about, you lose some leverage when he demands a trade. But also, it's like it sends out a bat signal, right, to everybody, okay, well.
It's a bidding war almost.
Let's go. Well, because the guy is, he's a heck of a prospect. I mean, he is a very, very good prospect. So, I don't know. Is that, I guess, overall a little bit underwhelming from what you would have hoped to get from him?
Probably, yeah.
What was the, what were the discussions when he was being shot before the 2023 draft?
Right.
Probably a little higher than that. But I mean, it's not nothing.
No.
And you've eliminated the distraction and everybody can move on, and then we'll see. I mean, I'm with Trotz on, you can't be fearful. You made a choice. They made their choice, and so this idea that everybody's going to be all hunky-dory with it was probably never realistic. If that's what he thought, I don't know if he did. And you got something for it, and so we'll see. You know?
Well, look, we're going to talk about this a little bit more here in a minute, just in terms of how this was always going to end this way, one way or the other, coming up. We'll get to that at 7:45. But, like, to me, your equation as a franchise kind of changed on July 1st, right? I mean, you made the decision a couple days before that to go with Saros, and that by itself is a choice, yes. And it's probably at that point where Askarov saw the writing on the wall. But when you double down a couple days later and you get Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea, well, then it's clear that you're all in to win over the next few years here. So we're going to judge all of this. Yes, we're going to judge it by how Saros plays throughout the length of the contract and what Askarov looks like in San Jose. But we're also going to judge it by, like, are the Predators competing for a championship in the next couple years here? Like, do they win a cup? Do they win a championship in the next 3 years? If they do, well, then even if Askarov turns out to be great, people probably aren't really going to care at that point. Because
can't possibly care. If you win it?
You win the thing and you saddled in your window there with Saros, then first off, that would probably suggest that he's playing pretty well. And number two, you got a championship to show for it. Now, if you get through the next 3 years here and things don't go to plan, and UC Saros struggles, and Stamkos is just a little too old, and Marchessault doesn't work out, and you're a team that is decent, good, kind of a fringe playoff team and doesn't really make any noise in the playoffs, well, then we're going to revisit everything at that point. But I think kind of the makeup of your franchise changed on July 1st in terms of, like, the lens that you're viewing things through here.
Right. Like, you at least have to – you have to be – a legit contender. And that means even, like, regular season success to where you're one of the top teams in the West.
Yep.
You're threatening to win your division, and then you're winning something in the playoffs, right?
So, well, I'll say, I'm interested to see how he does. Like, San Jose, they've got, obviously, the Will Smith kid that they drafted last year. They had the first pick this year in Celebrini. Now you've got Askarov. Like, they got the makings of a pretty good young nucleus there. I mean, Mike Greer, their GM, the other day said, quote, "It's a really big day for our franchise. To have an opportunity to add Askarov to our group is exciting, and I think it kind of breathes some more positive energy into our group." So, I mean, they've got kind of some foundational young pieces. We'll see how many of them work out. But look, I mean, I think Will Smith is really good. Celebrini, I think, is really good. And Askarov, I think, is going to be a good goalie. So they've got some foundational pieces for their franchise here.
Yeah, so if he has a long, great career there, again, that to me, the combination you don't want is, you know, if you're a Preds fan or if you're in the Preds organization, is you don't really, like you said, you just don't really get too far out of the middle. You're a playoff team, but, you know, you're never really one of those top teams contending for a championship. And Askarov goes on to be one of the best goalies in the league for many, many years with the Sharks.
Right.
That combination, well, then we'll look back and it was all a mistake. But, I think if either – the main thing is, even if that happens with Askarov, like you said, if you pay off in the short period, in the short term, like you've loaded up to do, then you have to live with that. That's you have to make a choice. And, again, you're the GM who came in. You did not draft Askarov.
Yeah.
You inherited the situation, and you looked at the situation and made a choice. You, at some point, you had to make a choice. I think you're going to talk about that. You had to make a choice.
Yes, we are going to talk about that. I got a text that says, "I feel like it's not a good trade. Who cares about the first-round pick? Tell me the last first-round pick that has made a difference on our team." I hear what you're saying there. We've talked about that. Like, they've had a run here where their drafting has not gone well for the Predators lately. You also can't operate that way moving forward. Like, if you're Barry Trotz in this new regime, you're going to have to hit on some first-round picks. Like, more than not, you're going to have to hit on some first-round picks moving forward, especially given how much money you've doled out now. Like, you need, as the years go on here, some of these first-round picks to come in and supplement your lineup that way that are not very expensive coming in. So they've got to hit on those moving forward. You can't operate under the perspective of, well, we hadn't had any first-round picks that have worked in a while, so who cares about them?
Right. It's like,
it's going to be pretty vital moving forward.
It's like we talked about with John Robinson, right?
Yeah.
He did end up getting fired.
He did.
But it's like, okay, well, if you don't think that he can draft, then you should not.
It's not good.
Yeah, you gotta
be able to draft.
You have to be able to draft.
Yes, in all sports, you have to be able to draft. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Let's put it there. Even if we lose, we'll let you work it out in the NHL. But no team has been willing to do that, at least with a good offer in return for the Predators. So that is what I'm kind of challenging the Askarov camp and anybody who is thinking, yeah, Askarov's right. I'm challenging that right now. Why has nobody offered a big return in a trade?
He felt that he was ready for the National Hockey League, and I said, you know, I'm glad that you're so confident, but your play will tell you if you're ready for the National Hockey League, not you saying you're ready for the National Hockey League.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, as we know, our friend Stilly catches some strays from us from time to time.
Yeah.
Here on this program.
Not very deserving either.
Yeah.
It's really unfair of us.
It really is. But I feel like if you broke it down by percentage of coworkers that catch strays on this program, he's definitely at the top. Is it 90%? Is it 95%? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Doesn't he claim that like 80% of our shows are
He does
him?
Claim that. But we need
quite a claim.
Maybe a little bit more equal distribution to some of our takes that we throw out and some of our coworkers that catch strays. And I've got one for you today.
Let's
our
do
friend
it.
Willie Donick. Now, we've had this fun back and forth discussion with Willie Donick. I mean, good Lord, probably for over a year now at this point with the Askarov sorrow stuff. And look, I've said this the entire time. I would have, and again, this is before all the Stamkos stuff, so the equation changed on July 1st. But I would have probably gone Askarov and leaned that way and chosen to make him the goalie of the future. The Predators went a different route, and then they doubled down on all that, and I'm excited that they did it because a lot of fun coming this year.
Before you continue.
Yeah.
I just thought, so now that we know, do you change your mind on that? Now that we know what they did with Stamkos.
Yeah, I changed my mind on it because Steven Stamkos is here.
I do too. I do too. So we were both admit we're wrong.
If you told me Steven Stamkos was coming, sure. Yeah. Do all that.
Yeah.
So, but besides all that, there was one part of this that always just kind of mystified me a little bit when it came to like Willie's argument and their side of things and what they call themselves, the Avengers, D-Mace and Willie and all them on the team of Askarov front. And there was one part of this that never made sense to me, and that was the comparisons that Willie would always make to the Pekka and Juuse Saros part of this, and how it's the same thing now with Saros and Askarov, how you could be kind of that protege, mentor type thing. And my thing was always, like, when Saros came in the league, I think Pekka was like 34, 35. And look, he was still playing well, was still a really good goalie. I mean, obviously, he went to Cup final in 2017, Saros was the backup. He won the Vezina in 18, where Saros was the backup. So clearly, he was still playing at a high level. But it's a little bit different when you're in your mid-30s and the light's kind of at the end of the tunnel a little bit that you can see, rather than when you're Saros and you're 28, 29, 30 years old. Like the fact that this has ended with Askarov requesting a trade and now having been traded to San Jose, to me, is one of the most predictable things that's ever happened in the history of the franchise. Like, I don't really know how we couldn't see this coming. Like, I don't know how we didn't think that Askarov was just going to sit there for 4 years and be okay with that and think that he was just going to be the backup for the next 3 years and not play. Like, I've never really been able to understand how we got to that thought process. And I know what's going to happen here. He's the bad guy now. He requested a trade, and he kind of forced Barry Trotz's hand a little bit, and now he's a member of the San Jose Sharks. You know, we had Adam from Portland asking on the text line, what's the reception going to be like at Bridgestone when he comes? I don't know. I don't know if the Predators fans are going to sit there and boo him or not. I'm sure if he gives up goals, they're going to get on him just like they do any other goaltender. I don't really blame the kid. I talked about that last week. There's no path here.
This isn't a Jimmy Vesey situation.
Yeah, like there's no path here to playing. There's no path here to being the goalie long term. So it doesn't really bother me that he did what he did. Could he have handled it a little bit better? Yeah, probably so. But we see this happen all the time in professional sports. So my message is, this is our victory lap. I told you so. Why can you? I don't know how we couldn't see this coming in terms of the trade request. And I think the comparison to the Pekka Saros situation and the Saros-Askarov situation was always flawed from the beginning. And now I believe we've seen the fruits of it. That is my message today to Willie Donick and the Avengers.
We win, you lose. Sorry, Willie. Well, we talked about how flawed that comparison was. Like his age, I mean, he was headed toward like a sunset deal, right? Like Saros just signed his big deal. Pekka was late into his big deal and was about to sign some tack on. Did he sign two small ones?
Yeah.
Saros were together, I believe so. And it's just a totally different. And again, the expectations and the advanced billing of Saros compared to Askarov, so different. You know, Saros came up and it was like, wow, this kid's ready to come up and give it a shot. And Askarov is like, this guy could be a generational talent from the start. You know, that's just a huge difference. And maybe the Russia thing is a huge difference too.
Maybe.
But, yeah, Willie was always wrong. We were always right. I mean, what do you want? What else do you want, man?
It is what it is, man.
Yeah, that's fine.
And again,
it happens.
Like I said.
It happens, Willie.
One, it happens. Number two, if you would have told me heading into all this that they were going to walk away with Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, I said, well, sure, that sounds more fun. Let's go that way. So that's fine with me. Willie was right in terms of the choice they made. They clearly chose Saros. So there you go.
Did Willie ever get pinned down like, okay, if you have to, because he was always like, you don't have to choose. And they were like, no, you do have to choose. Yeah. But did he ever say, like, if you have to choose, which way are you going?
Yeah, he picked Saros.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Then you were right there, Willie.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't know Stamkos was coming.
No. Well, I don't think.
So he was right-ish. Like, if I honestly I would still make the Askarov choice if not for the loading up that Barry Trotz has done in tandem with the long-term deal.
But, like, even Eli on the text right now, and I'm not trying to pick on Eli because there are a lot of people – we've gotten a lot of texts like this and a lot of people thinking this way, and I've just never understood it. Got a text, Eli says, I was hoping Askarov and Saros was going to be more like an Alex Smith Mahomes thing.
Impossible.
How long did you think he was going to sit there? Like, it's always been Saros is either getting an 8-year deal
or he's gone.
Not going to be here.
Right.
He got the 8-year deal. So, like, once you get the 8-year deal, like, did we think Askarov was going to sit here as a backup?
The money is guaranteed. The money is guaranteed, folks. Alex Smith was on his way out. The NFL, you don't have these contracts that are rock solid, ironclad, guaranteed forever and ever. In the NHL, you do. So if you're going to choose Saros, then you can ask your first round pick to just sit there, as Willie would have done. But it's not realistic.
And I look, the counter argument, I guess, could be, well, you would hope that Askarov would want to put his head down a little bit more and go prove it. But in his mind, he has. That's the thing. Like, his mind, he has proven that he's ready to play in the league. I mean, apparently he's right because I think he's about to play. We'll see if it goes well or not in San Jose with a pretty bad team around him at this point. But maybe they'll grow into something. But just the fact that people expecting him to sit there for 3 years, I always thought we're living in fantasy land. And now here we are. He's been traded.
Yep.
So, it's all one under the bridge at this point, but we win. Ha ha.
We look forward to it. And hopefully Willie will respond. Hopefully we can turn this into a feud. Can we keep a run? We did have
we
a
need
run.
More
where,
strays.
Remember when we had that run where Willie was, he had that text thread and he was sending some long texts.
Oh, Willie
man.
Was ready
Willie,
to go.
Willie was on one with the text thread.
He was.
We should almost revisit that.
He
and
had
read,
like
some color-coded
spreadsheets. I respected it. It was a lot of work he put in. I liked it.
Yeah.
Tyler says, all I can see is Robbie as Thanos. And Joe is the big-headed wizard guy. Robbie should have snapped into the mic and said, Willie, this is inevitable. Think so?
Does that make Willie Iron Man?
I don't know.
Iron Man's dead. Oops, sorry. Spoiler alert.
DJ Burnside, where can you make this graphic?
Don't worry.
He's back as Dr. Doom, though. Don't worry.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Get Joe's thoughts on the starting offense. They've dominated in the preseason. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.